Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hey, all up in your area. Oh, yeah. And here it is, the 5th of July, not the 4th of July. It's the 5th of July. The 4th of July was yesterday. And I hope y'all had a good 4th. I hope y'all, you know, gathered with friends and family, and maybe that you haven't seen in a while. But even if you have seen them in a while, maybe it wasn't in as much of a positive setting as it was yesterday. Good food, good drink, good cars, good play, good whatever. It was a pretty good day. It rained a little bit in some places in the city, but it didn't come down too hard. It didn't mess up the whole scenario. You didn't have to put up your tents or take the party on the inside or whatever. But today is the day after a lot of people had to go to work. You know, that's how it is when you have a day after a day in the middle of the week that's a holiday, even though Tuesday is technically still the beginning of the week. This is the exact middle of the week for my 9-to-5 working people who work on the weekdays. But nonetheless, we got to deal with the fallout. So we got to deal with the fallout. Got drunk too much yesterday. Had to call out. Deal with the fallout. Got drunk, hungover. Today now got to call out. Hopefully you went in and didn't mess up your holiday pay. Hopefully you went in today and didn't fuck up your holiday pay. I said, hopefully you went in today and didn't mess up your holiday pay, because messing up your holiday pay, whether you're worth or not, can put you in a bad mood clock. And I don't want to see you go out like that, so I hope that you keep your pocket fat. I know some people that called out yesterday, so they done messed up their holiday pay, but that's on them. They knew what it was hitting for. I'm going to get mine this week for sure. Well, actually, it'll be on the next check, but I'm going to make sure that I get mine with respect to the fact that I come in every day anyway, even if it's a holiday or even a weekend. Hey, how y'all feeling, man? How y'all feeling? Urban Therapy with Sun 752. Was this your daily go get a business show? We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Getter Business Show, all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should. Also, on this 5th of July, we are talking about Don't Do a Part 2. If Part 1 was a dud, baby, if Part 1 was a dud, wipe away the crud. It's not a success, so do away with the mess. You know, a lot of times when we have believed in a project, When we have believed in something that we have started and we really are hell-bent on finishing it, we might try to do a part two. The thing is, not everything is worthy of a part two. Not everything is worthy of a do-over. And let's get one thing straight. There's a difference between a part two and a do-over. There's a difference between a part two and a do-over. And we must understand, because we must learn. You do a do-over when you have messed up. You do a do-over when things have fallen apart. You do a do-over when things have failed. You do a do-over when the first do that was done wasn't a good idea, wasn't a success, didn't go over well, didn't garner any respect, any love, any attention, any nothing. So you don't do a part two when something was a total failure from the beginning. But sometimes we try to disguise the fact that part one wasn't that good or wasn't that great because, quite personally, it may have been personal to us. It may have been personal to us. It may have been something that we really put our heart and soul into, and we just can't accept the fact that it didn't work. So we'll do a part two. Have you ever gone to something that was labeled or titled as a part two, and you never get to see a part one? Let me ask you again. Have you ever gone to see something or experienced something or bore witness to something that was labeled a part two, but they didn't want to show you what part one was? Well, let me just tell you something. It's sort of a marketing strategy. People will call something a part two because they figure if you made a part two to this, part one was probably something that you wanted to see as well. So it doesn't matter if they show you the part one. They're going to overly concern you with part two because now you're interested. Record companies have done this for decades. Well, a lot back in the day. And back in the days when record companies developed an artist, they put money into an artist's career and into their development. And then, and, you know, when record companies used to promote an artist. I'm going to give you a good example. A really good example of this was Eminem, the white rapper that some consider to be the best rapper or even the greatest rapper of all time. There are people who consider Eminem to be that echelon, of that ilk, of that caliber. And they have a valid argument as far as lyrics are concerned and the ability to spit the rhymes. He's good. The best. But for what he did, what he does or used to do on records, you could kind of say that he brought that battle rap feel to the mainstream. And that's what people like, you know. Constant punchlines. What his record company did with him the first time with Dr. Dre, Aftermath Records, and all of that, they told the public that his first album went gold or platinum, and it didn't. I can't remember exactly which one it was supposed to have gone, the Slim Shady album. They said that it went platinum, and it didn't. It didn't go platinum. But that was the promotion that they used, so everybody would have so much interest in his second album, the Marshall Mathers album, And it worked. And it has worked with other artists. So although Eminem's first album, his first project, was a pretty good project, as he rapped about his, you know, his problems with his mother, problems with his baby mother, his mom. Women in general were Eminem's biggest Achilles heel and his biggest talking point when he first came out. No way around that, right? Okay, so people really thought that his first album went platinum. So, you know, they want to know, well, shoot, what is up with this guy that so many people bought his record without it being a mainstream success? It was like he blew up without any promotion, sort of like N.W.A. did. You know, N.W.A., the rap group, went platinum, double platinum, without any airplay, as they said. And, you know, that wasn't true either, because Straight Outta Compton got airplay. Express Yourself got a lot of airplay. Now, was the album already double platinum or platinum by the time those singles came out? I don't think so. But it was a marketing strategy, and it worked. Everybody went, it made people become interested in the album. So what I'm saying is they did a part two. The Eminem show was like a part two. Matter of fact, I don't think the Eminem show was his second album. I think that was his third album. Nonetheless, whatever his second album was, it really blew up because people thought that he blew up on his first album without any big promotion or a lot of airplay. And then his first album did wind up going platinum or double platinum or something like that because people go back and check out something that they've have heard it was a success. The same thing happened with Nas, the rapper Nas. His first album, which is a classic album and is far better than any other album that he came out with. He got it right the first time. You know, the Illmatic album, released in 1994, didn't even go gold. Five-star album, got five mics in the Source magazine, which was a big promotional tool of hip hoppers back then. Five mics in the Source, and it was worthy of five mics. It's a great album from beginning to end. Every album, without any major features on it. I'm only saying all this to set the stage so y'all understand how sometimes you might see a part two or why the motivation for doing a part two with some people may be in order to try to make something right that didn't go right the first time. Nas's first album sold about 300,000 copies. That's still 200,000 copies short of gold. But his second album, definitely went double platinum because of the buzz from his first album. And then Illmatic went platinum too. People went back. Well, if part two is this good, I got to go back and see part one. Now, the movie industry puts out part twos all the time, even with shitty movies, even with movies that are garbage. They will put out a number two. Why? Because of money. The first time even though it may have been a critical failure, it may have flopped as far as the critics were concerned. They may have told you, do not go see this movie. It is trash. Trash, I tell you. Trash. But people go out and see it. People go out and see it sometimes to see how trash it is. Like, well, listen, I don't know if Siskel and Ebert always know what they're talking about, so I'm going to go see this movie. And you go see the movie, and maybe you might think it's trash too, or maybe you might think that, oh, they're just biased against certain types of movies. So with your curiosity peaked and with other people's curiosity peaked, maybe that's how a lot of movies go from being a critical failure with the critics to becoming a success at the box office. So then a part two comes. And think about some of the movies that you know of that got a part two, and you'd be thinking, like, what in the heck? How did such and such get a part two? The first one was garbage. There was a horror film called House, I believe. Now, I know the first House was trash, straight garbage. And if y'all heard the movie, and I have the title wrong, please correct me. But I believe that the scary movie's name was House. And I remember they came out with a House Part 2. Now, nobody that I know who saw House, the first House, said that it was good. people say, oh man, that was trash, it was garbage. I wish I didn't go see that. But then a part two of House came out. And there have been movies where part two and part threes come out. And that's all because of money. It was a success at the box office. The studios made mad dough off of that film. So they don't care what the critics say. They care what the people say. And the people have spoken and said that the movie was worth going to go see it again and again. And they'll keep making sequels until people stop going to go see it. So when you wonder why there were so many Friday the 13th, it wasn't because they wanted to count high. It was because people kept going to go see them. They kept going to go see. They went to go see Friday the 13th. They went to go see Friday the 13th, part two, part three, part four, part five, six, seven, eight, nine. They almost had 13. They may have had, how many Friday the 13th movies did they have? Can we go to the phones and see how many part, never mind. How many sequels were there to the Friday the 13th series? And the answer is 12. 12 times they came back with a Friday the 13th movie. 12 times. That has to be a record. It has to be a record. It has to be. 12 Friday the 13th. And you know those Friday the 13th movies was straight garbage after, I would say, three. Maybe just two. The Friday the 13th was, part one was a classic, and part two was good. Part three, I remember it was Friday the 13th 3D, and that came out in 1982. I remember that, seventh grade, 12 years old, 1982, 3D. After that, I remember after going to go see that, I said, they can act that. It's time to give that the axe. The original Friday the 13th. My mom took me and Dita to see the original Friday the 13th. I remember that. She took us to see the original Halloween. And she took us to see the original Friday the 13th. Slasher films was our joy back in the day. The only difference is I wasn't scared after I saw the movie. Dita, not so much. What's going on, y'all? T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your site. And Stacey White, what's going on? Thanks for coming on through. Good to see you. And Carol Chamberlain, mi friend, mi favorita, always a good time. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming through, all y'all. We going to do this thing. Stand tall. You know what it is. You know what it is. You know what? Hold on. I ain't know nobody was cussing me out in the beginning of this show. What is this crap I'm reading? Let me address this openly right now. Sir, stop calling me bougie and telling people I live in a gated community. Now, I noticed that you want to address the whole gated community thing, but you ain't say nothing about that stainless steel side-by-side refrigerator, did you? Now, I mean, you know, I ain't trying to lie on you. Maybe you don't live in a gated community. But do you swear by that stainless steel side by side? Now, I mean, listen, if you're going to tell me what not to do and what not to say, let's just address what's true and what could be said Okay, she says, my fridge is white, sir. Was it always? Like, I don't know, count back 4 or 5 years ago. Was it white then? What about then? What about that? What about then, Miss C? What about then? I just want to know. You know what I mean? I just want to know. You know. I just want to know. That's all. You know what I mean? I mean, because if I'm wrong, we're going to still get along. But if I'm right and your refrigerator has always been white, then that means you was lying on one of them nights. We know you don't, we know you don't lie, right? I'm just saying. Carol says, I never listen to the critics. I think they tell you to get you to stop. I'm going to go see it. Yeah, sometimes it seems like there's an interest in that. And years past, I don't think that they had an appreciation for certain cultural movies. You know, because most of the movies that they previewed were like first run movies. And a lot of the movies that starred us weren't first run movies or whatever. Now, I mean, sometimes they had it right, because a lot of those black movies aren't that good. I wish I was lying. I wish I could go another way with that. But a lot of times it's the same plot and all of that. But in many movies that star white people, they have the same plots also. You know, they run with a certain theme. It's almost like they take the same the same storylines, same action scenes, and they just put new actors in them. Like, if you've ever seen that movie Italian Job, the Italian Job with Mark Wahlberg and Sean Connery, and was it Sean Connery? No, not Sean Connery. The other gray-haired white dude who replaced Sean Connery in a lot of those movies. Anyway, in the movie The Italian Job, I saw the movie Italian Job. I saw the same themes, same action scenes in other movies. So it was working. Sequel, money, 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 money. And it was a way for them to make movies that were successful without calling them a part two. So you don't do a part two if part one was a dud. I'm messing up with this title. That's what happens when you try to. That's what happens when you try to yamming. Okay. So wait a minute. So it was another Friday the 13th recently. Wow, Carol said, and she hasn't seen any of them. It happened. Somebody was going to go see them, John. A lot of people was going to go see them, John. Carol said they made a few Halloweens too. But they really spaced the Halloweens out. There was a new Friday the 13th coming out every year. I swear to God. It was crazy. It was crazy in the 80s. There was a new Friday the 13th every year, it seemed like. Carol says, I didn't cuss, sir. Okay. My fridge is white, sir. Yes, I've never had a stainless steel fridge, damn it. Okay. I'm looking for an apartment now, and it won't be gated, but it will be out in the county. Okay. You know, if I had a an iPhone that wasn't my work phone, I would get your location, ma'am. I need to know where you are with certain things. I need to get your location. I need to get your location because you all over the place right now. You all over the place right now. You know what I mean? You all over the place right now. You all over the place right now. You all over the place right now. Okay. So, let me see. Let me see. Let me see. You text me the address. No, no, no. I need your location. I need to know exactly where you're moving around. But that's if I had an iPhone. Anyway, so sometimes in our lives we do a part two when a part one wasn't really a success. We do it with jobs. I don't know if you've ever worked at a job twice, but I've seen people who have done it trying to recreate that lightning in a bottle. If you left a job because they weren't really paying you right or treating you right, but maybe you liked the people at the job, so you went back to the job after leaving the job, what do you really expect from that job that you left? I don't know. Now, it could turn out to be better because maybe the job that you left initially, maybe when you went back to them, they realized how much they needed you and missed you and what kind of value you brought. So maybe they gave you what you wanted when you came back. Or maybe you just came back because you missed the nostalgia of the way things were that you had grown accustomed to over the years that you had worked there or however much time it was that you worked there. So maybe some of the people that you worked with before were still there and they was glad to see you back and all that kind of stuff. But are you making more money now? Do you have better working conditions now? Or have you submitted that, all right, well, even though it's still the same old, but it's the same old that I'm used to. And this same old was better than the new old. Maybe. Maybe. Who can really say? Who can really say? So, perhaps you went back to the job to try to get something out of it that you didn't get the first time. But if part one was a dud, then you don't make a part two. So returning to that job probably wasn't the thing to do. Do y'all know anybody who has married somebody twice? I do. And to me, it's still the weirdest thing. I don't care what the reasons are. It's the weirdest thing to go through an entire divorce, from somebody and to go ahead and rekindle with them and marry them again. Like, you gonna go through, what? Man, I've known people who not only got married to the same person again, but went ahead and had another wedding and all of that. Like, man, you, all right. I guess sometimes you just want to show the world. I guess you just want to show the world what it's hitting for. So, could it be? Could it be? Whatever it is, I've known people who've done it. Now, was the second time around better than the first time? Maybe. Maybe not. I just think that it's odd that you know, for what the process takes to get a divorce, the emotional toll that it takes on you, the financial toll that it takes on you, the social toll that it takes on you, for you to recreate that all over again and do it again and have confidence in it. Hey, man, you a better man than me. You doing it. You something else. You a star. You is a star. Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't even consider it. I wouldn't even think about it. Ain't no way it's going to happen. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. So, yeah. But it happens. It happens. And I just think that it's an odd thing to do. You can't stop people from doing what they do, but to get married all over again and to have a whole different set of expectations. What would y'all think about that? From the people that y'all know that have gotten married twice, because I know y'all, I know I ain't the only one who knows people who got married twice. I know I ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm the only one who knows people who got married twice. Some of y'all might be in the audience. What up, Married Twice? Let me hear about your sequel. Your sequel is like no equal. Carol Chamberlain, she gave me $10. She said, just because I'm bougie. Well, if you're going to be bougie, you're being bougie for me and in the right direction, and I appreciate me some you. Yes, I appreciate me some you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I appreciate me some you. I'm glad that you do what you do. Thank you. Thank you so much. So much. Appreciate that. Let me see. Oh. T.K. Wright says, my cousin married the same guy twice. Well, what did she say? If you ask her, what did she say? What would she say? Carol says, Taki, hope it worked out for them. Taki says, sure did not, Carol. The second time around, I'll know what to do. Just as long as I'm with you, second time around. Oh, the second time. Shout out to Jody Whiteley. Shout out to Howard Hewitt. Shout out to that third member who nobody seems to remember the name of. You know? Second time around. Come on, y'all. It's the second time around. Great song. Great song. I would play it on this show. If this show wasn't full of Fronte. Fronte! T. Carrie Wright says it wasn't a good fit either time. And she says, kind of sad. I look at these things as teaching moments. They are both better because of it. Man, you got to get married twice in order to be, man, I can see getting back with somebody that you just go with twice because that's free. But it costs to get married. It costs to get married. It costs to get out of a marriage, and it costs to get married again. Mm, mm, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to take my $10 and, you know, I'm going to run with it. That's what I'm going to do. Diallo. That's what I'm going to do. Diallo. Diallo. Appreciate y'all, dude. I do. Appreciate you. But yeah, you don't do a part two if part one was a dud. And some things are billed as being a part two when they're really just a do-over, when they're really just a recreation, when they're really just a part one, the part two of a part one. A part two is a sequel. A do-over is not a sequel. It just means that, you know, part one just didn't go right. So we got a new number one. We got a new number one. We got a new. That's why you spell busting his balls wrong. That's why, Kara, that's why you spell bust. That's why. That's why, God. You see what the Lord done? You see what the Lord done for me? He protects me. His eyes are on the sparrow, and he watches over me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark passes. It's all good, baby. It's all love, baby. I guess I'm being punished for that remark. My computer just froze up. I'm protected. I'm blessed and highly favored for this show. I can go back to being cursed, you know what I mean, around 8 o'clock. And it's coming soon. Anyway, part two. You know, going back to a job, going back to a marriage, going back to a relationship, me and you part two. Me and you part two. Now, you know, the thing about a part two is that because a part two is based off of success, there really is no apology that needs to be made. But when you're talking about a do-over, when you're talking about a recreation, there are probably some loose ends that you needed to tie up. And there are probably some amends that needed to be made, and also some apologies that needed to be given. And that's the difference. Like, if me and you were in a relationship, if you and I were in a relationship, there were probably some good things and some bad things. But if we broke up, there were obviously some things that we didn't like about each other, whether it was one-sided or not. You know, it's a tough situation where one person really loves everything about one person, the other person, but the other person doesn't really like that much about that person, so they break up with them. Even though you break up with somebody that you really didn't appreciate the qualities of, it doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't gotten used to that person or that you hated everything about them. So you may miss them. So if they come along and offer you a chance to get back with them, you may take it, or you may, in your arrogant, narcissistic, probably self, you probably went back to them and either begged your way back in or bullied your way back in. Like, all right, we back together. We no longer broke up. I know I said what I said, and I know I said I wanted what I wanted and whatever, but I look, I'm back. Baby, I'm back. Whatever the case is, more than likely, y'all had to straighten out whatever went wrong between the two of you that broke the both of you apart, that separated the two of you, that severed the ties between the two of you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So, in a part two is sort of like a celebration, a congratulations. Look, congratulations on your success in part one. We're going to do a part two because part one was the thing to do, and we're going to get some more of this money. As a matter of fact, we can even make the part two better than the part one, sort of like EPMD's second album. My hip-hop heads know what I'm talking about. The first EPMD album went gold, and it was a commercial success, especially in the early hip-hop days. We're talking about 1987. But there were a lot of critics for their first record, because they said that, you know, EPMD, even though they were a duo, they sounded like Rakim. They sounded like Rakim of Eric B and Rakim. Rakim was the rapper. Eric B didn't rap at all. Both EPMD, Eric and Parrish making dollars. That's what EPMD stands for. So both of them rhyming together sounded like one Rakim rhyming to a lot of people. Now, to hip-hop heads, they were like, no, that's definitely not the R, because the R has more lyrical skill and wordplay. And, you know, he was just, you know, Rakim was a beast. And they were very less than beastly on their first album. But their second album? Man, they must have really got serious and went in the studio and wrote some hot shit. The beats were better. I liked their first album, but I didn't buy it. I couldn't buy it because I didn't really like them. Their second album, I was like, talk about the most improved group. EPMD second album. So everything they made after that, I was like, yo, count me in, because they got better and better and better. Same thing with Tribe Called Quest. They first album, I ain't like that shit. But it was a commercial success, which gave them the green light to do the second album, which was so much better than their first album. On their first album, the only person you really heard rhyme was Q-Tip. On their second album, that was the emergence of Fight Dog. Like, Fight Dog? Who's Fight Dog? Oh, there's another rapper in the group? And we barely heard anything from Fight Dog on the first album. Second album, you know what I mean? Here he comes. Fife Diddle. Most improved rapper. Fife Diddle. But the album, to me, was so much better. Their second album was so much better than the first album. Stacey White says, we will have to go to counseling for part two. Yeah, you talking about for a marriage or a relationship? Yeah. That sounds like a very good idea to me. For a part two, if you are seriously considering getting back with somebody that you have had a relationship with prior, then I would think that, yeah, going to counseling to make sure that the two of you are on the same page with a moderator. Now, the thing is, getting one or both parties to agree that neither one of them are really ready to embark on the situation that they are about to, that might be a challenge. A challenge. Especially on the man side. Getting a man, especially a black man, to consider going to counseling, that ain't, you got a little bit of a fight on your hand. Unless the man is me, I'd be like, counseling? Count me in. I love some good old therapy. But I have gone to relationship counseling, couples counseling before. I'm not a fan. I ain't going for it. I'm not a fan of that. When it comes to counseling, both people have to understand that right and wrong gets thrown out of the window in counseling. That's what needs to be understood. And if you understood, would you stop scheming and playing hard? I got a great big bodyguard, so step up if you want to get hurt. Milk is going to pull the skirt. I get... All right. Let me see. Carol Samuel says, most black men really take counseling as a sign of weakness. I think, no, you're right about that. You said maybe not most, but some. I should. No, I think most is correct. And black men are not alone in that. Now, most white men don't like counseling either. They ain't with all of that shit. But the thing is, the reason why it's more of a bigger deal for us is because we're already dealing with the flaws that society says that we have in the first place. So, you know, it's almost like admitting or submitting to the fact that we already inadequate. That's how the black man feels when it comes to counseling. Plus, they don't want to drudge up a whole lot of things that they probably have been trying to deal with by themselves. And some people just don't like to talk to people that they don't know about personal shit that comes from their past, about their feelings, about their love, about their fears, about, they don't want to get into all of that. Like, I don't know you like that. But once you get into it, once you understand therapy, you realize, like, it's better to talk to somebody who is a professional who cannot talk to anybody else about what's going on with you. Then you'd be wondering, like, well, you mean to tell me that they don't even talk to their boss about what's going on with you? How does that work? They don't talk to their colleagues about patients and just keep them nameless? You ain't going to tell me that they don't tell nobody, but that's what we're supposed to think. Stacey White says, no, not if you want going to counseling. I don't know if you wrote that right. Carol Chamber says, I can only speak for black men and what I've seen firsthand. Well, what you've seen firsthand is the truth. And we ain't going to front on that. That's what we ain't going to do. Ain't no reason to front on that. Because that can't be fronted on. I mean, that is as big as the truth as you can find. You know, so doing a part two is different from doing a do-over. So if you're going to get back with somebody that you were with before, you need to be ready. Steady, are you ready? Are you ready? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? I say, All right, black men definitely have a problem with counseling. It's hard, but I tell you where they get counseling a lot, when they go to jail, and unfortunately too many of us do a part two, a sequel, or a whole series of going back and forth to the pen. And they make sure you get all the counseling that you need or that you want or that you didn't want when you go to jail. Conditions of your parole, you know. Trying to get reduced sentencing, you know, getting a mental evaluation so, you know, you can use that as evidence in your case. Trying to get some type of compassion, leniency, or consideration when it comes to your conviction or your sentencing, you know, things like that. So yeah, we get the counseling. At some point, we get our counseling. Carol says, I have never done that. Once I'm done, no looking in the rearview mirror for me going backwards. I understand. But as you know, a lot of people do it. And a lot of people do it, and they if you think you was mad the first time, the second time, it's like, rah, rah. The first time you probably mad at them. The second time you mad at yourself because you had a choice. And I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna leave it alone. I ain't gonna say nothing else. If you mad at the person that you got with more after the second time than after the first time, then counseling was what you needed. You needed the counseling because you moving like you got a hole in your head, like you got a hole in your head. A hole in your head. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. July 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Arnold Price. Turning 51 years old today, and Sabrina Morris turning 31 years old today, and Robin Coates turning 68 years old today, and Kathy Moore turning 58 years old today, and Joanne Menifee, turning 63 years old today, and Rezina Murphy Hernandez Felix turning 49 years old today, and Juliet Osawaru turning 38 years old today, and Mel Layla Hart turning 40 years old today, and Rita McClinton, happy birthday to you, and Nicole Smith, happy birthday to you, and Skyski Rio, go get a Skyski Rio, happy birthday to you, and last but not least, Laverne, my girl, Laverne, I hope that today finds you all in good healthiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes out, and that goes out, and that goes out to each and every person born on this glorious July 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on it. Do the dance. The rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, a do-over is not a part two. And you only do a part two when part one was a success. If part one was a dud, then you let it go. I guess you got to let it go. Do, 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 do. It looks like another love. TKO. Do, 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 do. Da, 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 da. I mean, listen, everything wasn't made for a part two. Some things you got away with the first time. It might have been a success, but you actually got away with it. You better not return to the scene of that grime. You better not return to the scene of that grime. Like people who get caught scamming people that have supported them. Have you ever gone to a raffle where you know that they fixed the raffle so somebody would win, and you know that they ain't win what they said that they won? It was like, it's like the wrestling battle royal. They were supposed to get all of this money, this big check, and you find out later on when wrestlers have lost, who have left the, who have retired from wrestling, they tell you that it was fixed and that they never saw the checks that they were supposed to have gotten when they won tournaments when they were wrestling. Have you ever been to a party or a function or whatever, or bought tickets to a raffle and they were supposed to win like a TV or a car or some big major purchase and some big prize, I should say. And then somebody wins and you like, what a coincidence that such and such won. Ain't that such and such cousin? Ain't they related? Well, you know that they may have sold 500 raffle tickets and they're giving away a prize that may be $1,500 in value, retail, of course. But none of y'all won it. Scam after scam after got. Scam after scam after got. Scam after scam after got. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get Em Ism show. So make sure y'all stay tuned, stay in the room, and make sure that we rock until it goes boom. All right, so Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here. Yeah. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. It's the Daily Go Get Em Ism.